There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom, and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So my guest today is singer and all-round inspiration, Zoe Wees. Growing up in Germany, Zoe was diagnosed with epilepsy at a young age. She has documented her struggles with anxiety, and her latest album, entitled Therapy, discusses her own journey with mental health. Okay, so it is today, which is the 13th of November, 2023. And this is an interesting start to conversation because usually I introduce it and go, it is 1829 and it's November. I mean, we've never got that far back, but I'm sure we'll at some point. But we start with a date much further back, but we're going to start this conversation actually discussing the present and now, which is really exciting. So I know that you have discussed mental health.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to just go like, all right, list off the stuff, because yeah. that it's often really difficult to do that. But I struggle really badly with anxiety. I have had really bad clinical depression. I have CPTSD, which is complex post-traumatic stress disorder, for everybody listening, and a few other things. Are there any sort of buzzwords that you have for you and what you struggle with personally?
I also struggle with anxiety. It's really bad. Almost every 10 minutes, I feel anxious all the time,
right?
The whole day. And it only gets worse, but I kind of learned how to live with that.
Yeah.
It's like so much easier for me now because I don't pressure myself to, I'm okay with this feeling. I'm okay with being anxious. I kind of got used to it and starting to be actually a nice feeling and not a bad feeling.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually I don't know how this happened, but I started to not push it away. I started to let it,
embrace and accept, yeah. that kind of thing of going, okay, you're here.
Yeah.
Hello, old friend.
It's fine, whatever. I can't push you away.
Yeah.
Because you're coming back anyway. So I started to live with that. Mm. And since then, my life changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with this feeling and I kind of can control it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is such a big thing about acceptance of something, because so much time it's like living with a massive cat, which I do already. He's not here today. He's usually a big part of this podcast. But this thing that is taking up so much room and is really uncomfortable and is, you know, shitting in the bath or whatever.
and you're going, oh, fucking, you're just trying to ignore it. And the minute you go, okay, let's have a conversation about this. Let's just try and work out, because you're here to stay, unfortunately. You're here to stay. There's nothing I can do to get rid of you.
Yeah.
How can we live and work together?
Yeah.
Do you remember when your anxiety first started?
It was when I was nine, I think. Because when I was nine, I got diagnosed with epilepsy. And that's where everything started and where I got anxious and felt the seizure, although it wasn't a seizure. And yeah, this is when it all started. And so I'm in therapy for over 10 years now.
I've spoken to a lot of people who have felt really bad anxiety in childhood. Because, and
it's the worst because you can't even explain.
Exactly.
Can't tell your mom because she doesn't really know it wasn't a thing back then.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about it. They didn't have anxieties really. So I didn't know how to tell my mom. I was like, Mom, I feel something weird, but I can't explain.
And you think because it's taken a really long time for me to understand this, that I am not my feelings.
Yeah.
Oh my, like you said, every 10 minutes when people go, oh, when were you last scared? I'm like, oh my God, I don't know, like 2 minutes ago. I was terrified. And that for so long, I didn't have the understanding that it wasn't real, that these catastrophic thoughts were not definitely even come to fruition. Because when it's your brain going, hey man, hey, what's up? Basically, that thing that you're really worried about is definitely going to happen. Without question. And you're like, oh God, why would my own brain be lying to me? This must be real. And then when you're given the words for it, and this is why I say so many, I say it almost every other episode, just of never underestimating the power of a diagnosis. Because someone going, oh no, you have anxiety. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, so it's not real. I'm not constantly in danger in fight, flight or freeze and I have to protect myself. All the time, I can actually take a step back. And if I feel that, go, oh yeah, I know what this is.
Yeah, it took so long for me to get diagnosed with it. Also with anxiety, like some professional person, it took like 6 years until somebody told me that I have anxiety.
Yeah.
And before that, I didn't know what it was. So it helped me a lot. This diagnosis helped me a lot to really deal with that. And
yes.
And starting to actually live life with it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think it is so powerful.
What are you thinking when you get anxieties?
Oh my God, the list. It depends on the day, depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. It depends how things are going. Often the worst times, which is so ironic, but when things are going okay, when some like maybe a good thing's happened or a couple of good things have happened, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to ruin it? Something's going to ruin it because my history, something bad has always happened. So this, I don't trust this. This can't be right. I don't deserve good things. And it is this strange thing of almost feeling more comfortable in the bad times because not more comfortable because it's a very uncomfortable place, but almost safer.
Safer.
Because you're not going, what's going to ruin this, this joy? And it's a horrible thing.
It's horrible.
Yeah, because you go, God, there's a lot in recovery because I'm in the program of AA. There's a lot of, asking your higher power to remove defects of character. Mm-hmm. Ask your higher power for something that you desire. And I get terrified of doing that because I'm like, God, what if I get it? what if it happens? What am I going to do? What am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
But I feel it in a very physical way.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, when I had my breakdown, I had seizures, and now I'm on medication for epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, I was...
Damn, girl.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry.
So much for
everything that's happening. I mean, you look so strong, and you seem so strong and brave, and you're going through so much. It's so crazy. It's so inspiring for me to see you.
Oh, my gosh. Honestly, this is why I love taking the moment of why do you think you've got no friends? You useless twat. You know who you are. Not listening. but the worst thing that happened to me ultimately was the best.
Mm-hmm.
because I think so much recovery comes from understanding. Like
understanding,
said, with a diagnosis.
Yes.
It's very, very difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. It takes so much work to understand.
But how can you understand if you don't know what it is?
Exactly.
So that makes sense. You
exactly.
just have to.
And if you're doing what I was doing, which was like drinking it away or, you know, whatever was like available, like, yeah, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
God,
and the sad thing is it works.
Oh, yeah.
It
absolutely.
Really works.
It works. It works. But, and the real pain is actually in the healing of it.
Yeah.
But I know that you're from in Germany, do they have the book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt? Yeah, I've got that book.
No,
we can't.
Never heard of it.
You are missing out. It's a kid's book that basically is
nice.
Like, there's a family, wildly inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
This family decide to go with their baby to go on a bear hunt to go find a bear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on the way to the bear hunt, they go like, there's a big field of grass. We can't go over it. We mm-hmm. can't go around it. We have to go through it. And they go through the grass and then they meet the bear and the bear is scary and then they run away from the bear. And they say, I genuinely believe this whole book is just a metaphor for mental
yeah.
health. Because of going, oh, we've got the waterfall. We can't go around it. We have to go through it because the only way out is through.
Mm-hmm.
You can distract and you can prolong, but if you're doing that, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
And so right about having the diagnosis, having the words, and there is something so cathartic about putting it into words. And I know that your music is so based on, your research is so based around therapy. Does that help, does writing help you?
Yeah, it helped me a lot. I also had like really bad anxieties in the studio and I never had anxieties only writing this album and never really felt anxieties in the studio because it's my safe space.
Yeah.
I feel so safe in the studio. But yeah, this album is definitely very personal and very like, yeah, I have a couple songs about my dad on this album, about my life, feeling lonely because I struggle with that a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's interesting when we begin to speak about the things that are so deeply ingrained in our body. And they make us who we are. And they're fantastic. They are wonderful things. And there are so many things that have happened that for a very long time, I was like, I would do anything to give those, to make that not happen.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you get to a place where you look at the spot you're standing in and go, this whole journey, everything, every tiny little second of that led up to this, and I wouldn't give this back for anything. But when you begin to dig deep and begin to actually, and I think it is a thing about literally speaking, using the words, putting it into art, putting it into
something. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, something that's just, you can...
It helps so
it's
much.
It's there.
You can literally, you can hear it, you can feel it, you can basically touch it.
Yeah, it's the most... Like, it's such a radical experience.
Yeah.
Because for so many of us, so many people, you know, so many people take this stuff to the grave. And being able to... That energy, those feelings that we have, that stuff that's inside us, that doesn't go anywhere. And that energy doesn't dissipate.
Yeah.
But if you channel it into something...
Yes.
That is... So positive. And also, I think for others, when it's not even, I mean, it can just be for you. Of course, that's obviously fine. People journal all the time and do tons of things, but putting something out into the world. But it makes sense why you were anxious in the studio maybe for the first time because you were discussing when those things come to the surface, it's suddenly, it's really raw.
Yes, there was some things I never talked about, to be honest. And then there was a couple people in the studio. And I had to open up. And this is like, and this is where I started to feel anxieties. But I also been working with almost the same people for this whole album. So I don't have to open up the whole town. It
wouldn't
make sense to me.
We got a new guy.
No, but yeah, I also wrote this album because I usually like, I wrote it for myself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like I didn't think about that. I wrote a song about my dad and I didn't think about that I have to put it out.
Yeah.
I have to release the song someday, maybe. And I'm so happy that I can help some people because I feel like I have music and I know that it's helping me, and writing it down, singing it, expressing my feelings is helping me. But some other people maybe doesn't have anything. Mm-hmm. Like they might not be able to just make music or go out, be with their family because maybe they don't have it.
Yeah.
And that's when they listen to my music, yeah. And that's why I'm happy to do it.
And it's the most precious thing because there are times for artists when we don't have the capacity to be able to create.
Yeah.
And that is when art, music,
yeah,
plays such a huge role in recovery.
Yeah.
When I had my like serious, serious breakdown before mm-hmm. I went into rehab, I was a shell of a human. Mm-hmm. And I say this a lot in AA. There are these movies that's like Keira Knightley. And she's going crazy, but she also looks mm-hmm. pretty because she's like wearing a corset and her hair looks kind of like wild. I was like, I look like Gollum. I was literally like, I was a kidney bean of a human.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing sexy about this breakdown. There was nothing pretty about it. If you put that on camera, people would be like, what is that? But I couldn't. You're so dissociated from yourself.
Yeah.
You don't remember feeling very vividly like I didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
My body was at the same time as like flimsy as steel,
yeah.
But as real as a unicorn. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that could break me because mm-hmm. I didn't exist, mm-hmm. is how it felt. And the only thing that snaps back into mm-hmm. present, back into the body, was listening to music.
Yeah.
That went, and even if it wasn't necessarily the entire song, it was a single line,
yeah.
or a key change or something that went, oh my God, I'm real, yeah. I'm real. And like a breath, literally a breath, and coming back. Or art with really bright colors, mm-hmm. or a little bit of verse. There's something very, very powerful about poetry and verse when mm-hmm. it's just like a rhythm. So I think even the initial thing of writing it for you and for your own journey and then putting it into the world and having people respond to it in whatever way they do, it's like a superpower.
It really is.
Basically, yeah. Magic.
Yeah, it's magic.
Yeah. I think it's really incredible. And there's so much more of a conversation now because like you said, when you were young, you know, there wasn't really a word for it. And
yeah.
Just sort of going, as a child, having to explain symptoms of anxiety. How the hell?
That's hard.
How the hell is a child supposed to go, my nervous system.
Yeah.
Mom, something is up.
Yeah, but like also, because I had epilepsy, it was so even harder to actually tell my mom that I also have anxieties.
Yeah.
Because she was always like, oh no, you're getting another seizure. But it wasn't always that. Sometimes I just felt it because I know how it feels. And my brain, like, I don't know what it was. It was a weird game that we were playing, my game and my yeah. brain and me. But sometimes I just had the symptoms and I had this feeling and everything got numbed.
Yeah.
And I couldn't feel my hands, but I could see them moving though.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a seizure. It was just anxieties. Mm. And I couldn't explain. I couldn't tell my mom. So that's why it took so long, yeah. even longer.
Because they go, you have this one thing that's very serious yeah. and needs to be taken care of. All the surrounding symptoms must be to do with that, yeah. not necessarily anything mm-hmm. else that needs to be treated on its own. It's going, oh, no, it's the... that's that epilepsy. let's just take him more medication or whatever the hell it yeah. is. Rather than being like, okay, there's something obviously... wired just a little bit wrong here mm-hmm. that we need to work out. How did you find being at school?
It was so hard.
Yeah.
Because the kids, I mean, obviously they were young. They just wanted to play, be outside. They didn't want to understand,
yeah.
but they saw me the whole, like I had seizures in the class and they saw me, like I couldn't change it.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to go to school because my teacher was actually my favorite person. It wasn't even my mom. It's so weird. I love my mom, but it wasn't my mom. It was my teacher. And we had like, I don't know, it just, every time it happened, I woke up and I saw her. And Yeah. So she was my safe space and my favorite person. So I always wanted to go to school, although the doctor said maybe you should not go to school because I had a seizure almost every day. Mm. But yeah, I always wanted to go to school because I wanted to see her and be with her.
Yeah.
So yeah, it had something. I mean, school was the worst. It was the worst for me, but it kind of, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't the worst time. Maybe it was just...
Well, yeah. I think kids, bless them, kids get very frightened by something that's different.
Yeah.
It's very frightening. And of course it is, because they're like, this isn't how things work. They only have, they have very short experience of life.
Yeah.
And if that hasn't featured in there...
You can't even be mad at them.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, then... Kids, I mean... Kids can be assholes.
Yeah.
But they don't mean, I don't think they mean to be.
Yeah.
It's not like these days when someone's a real dickhead, you're like, well, you did that on purpose.
Yeah.
But kids being very afraid of something that is different, but it's kind of incredible that you managed to, that you attached safety to school, even though it was a place that was cynical.
Yeah.
Also really relate to the feeling of having a favorite person who is not your parent, which is really strange.
This is so strange. I always felt bad, to be honest.
Felt so guilty.
Yeah.
So guilty.
Because I was like, it should be my mom, but it shouldn't, it doesn't have to be your mom, to be honest. Like, my mom was like, it's fine. I mean, I'm here for you. You know that I love you, and it's fine if you love being with her. That's fine for her. Mm. But yeah, we had to talk because she was sad. I mean, at first she was sad because I wanted to go to school. And even if I had a seizure, I wanted to come back to school. Like, I didn't want to go back home.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do, but I didn't grow up with them.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting as well, that it was a kind of like an isolated experience in the way.
Yeah.
I want to know like why this happened, because when I was about my favorite person in the world, my favorite person...
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to show just how posh I am. Was my riding teacher. He kept my pony. It's so bad. but it was... I don't know why. But I attached so much safety and love to her. And I remember I used to have, because I think it was like very early signs of some of OCD, because something with OCD, and I like to discuss OCD a lot, is that people think it's like turning off a light switch loads of times.
Yeah.
And often it's not. Often it's like really intrusive, like thoughts on a loop going, or if you don't, I remember being like, if I sleep on my back, I will die.
That's crazy.
Who told me that? What? Dick of a child. He came up to me and went, hey, by the way.
Must be hard then.
Yeah. I used to have these like really intrusive thoughts about like global warming and, you know, big catastrophes and things like that. And always thinking, if this happened, if I was going to die, I'd want to be hugging Joe, who was my riding teacher. I never thought about my mom or my dad.
Interesting.
And it's strange.
Yeah.
Why... And I've heard this a lot, why anxious children attach a lot of, create a secure attachment to someone who's not a parent. And you were right, I felt so guilty.
Yeah.
I felt so guilty. I remember my brother telling me off for it.
I mean, it's what it is.
It is what it is.
It's nothing bad.
Mm. How old were you when you started writing music?
I was like 14. Yeah, when I first got into the studio, I was like 15. And I wrote Control when I was that young, my first single.
No.
Yes.
That makes me want to cry. I'm like a little bit hormonal, a bit emotional today, but I so don't know why. This is so beautiful. Because having emotional maturity in adolescence, having experienced something so... such like superlative emotion in quite early childhood. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm so happy I've been through all that.
Yeah.
Because I love the person I am today. And I'm so happy, and I love everything. Everything that comes with being me.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like you were saying, those the things that were so bad.
Yeah.
That was so bad. And things at times that were really awful. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah, yeah. Because that's led to here.
Yeah.
Which is so great. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Sometimes when I feel invested, I'm just like, oh, come on, just like, cut me a break.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that I've learned. It's that so much of the time, the life is sort of separated into these two categories of things being wonderful and so mm-hmm. cool and so great, and these like amazing experiences you walk away from being like, whoa. And then there are these really awful, awful times that are so scary and sad and messy. Yeah. And then you kind of come out the other side of it and go, I've got such a great story.
Yeah.
Like, I've got such a great story.
It inspired me so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To go, I can put this down into words, this as like a literal survival guide mm-hmm. for somebody else.
Yes.
And there are parts of it that are also really funny. And that's kind of okay.
Yeah, it's true. I felt like I always asked myself, why me? Like, why yeah. do I have to go through that? And when I started writing music, I kind of had this moment where I was like, this is why I'm going through all that. Because yeah. I have a story. I can help so many people. I got a talent and I love music. It's my favorite thing in the world. Mm. And that's where I kind of got the answer of my question yeah. that I've been asking myself since I was so little.
Yeah.
And this was the moment where I started to act, to really love everything
yeah.
I've been through.
I had this really great thing the other day, which I thought was so powerful, that when you're really in it
mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's endless, and then it comes and months have gone by and you're going like, why haven't I got over this? Why is this still happening? And it continues and continues because the journey of healing is very, very long.
Yeah.
And for a long time I was going like, after everything happened with this guy, it was 6 months later, and I was like, why am I not fine? Why am I not fine? And my best mate was like, it's not been that long. But this sort of prolonged time
mm-hmm.
is actually kind of amazing, the longer, because I heard this thing the other day when someone went, the amount of time that you're taking, that's the amount of training you're having.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would you go to a doctor who'd been to medical school for 2 months?
Nah.
Do you want to go a lawyer to have gone to medical school? Law school for 3 weeks? Like, no, I don't want that guy. I want the guy yeah. who's like been in it
yes.
for years. And so when you're doing this thing, when you're going through it, even if it feels like a really long time, looking at it as just like literal like training,
yeah.
like learning about yourself yeah. is so powerful, because so many people come and say, I don't know why it's not over yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it will come. It will come. Then you'll get your diploma. Trauma. Stick it on the wall. But everybody knows it. Anxious survivor. Or whatever the hell it is.
And opening
the story.
Yeah, opening up helped me also a lot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like one thing that I was always scared of that made me even feel more anxieties was that I was scared to like lose friends and family because yeah. I didn't want to be the one when they want to go party and I feel anxieties and I have to leave.
Mm.
I didn't want to be the one ruining the day, you know. So that's why I didn't tell anyone before. And opening up helped me because now I'm with the people that I love. I know I'm safe with them.
Yeah.
And I know they know everything about me and I don't have to be like, yeah.
You don't have to expend that energy that you don't have available
yeah.
for somebody else.
Yeah.
And there is a big thing that comes with healing, and I think it's such an amazing thing to talk about, is that when you do start to do the work, mm-hmm. and do start to understand, lots of people do fall away. And it's very painful. It can be very, very painful, but knowing that it's a sort of a universal thing is very comforting.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, before that, when you are doing so much for somebody else, like bending over backwards
yes.
to make sure that somebody else is comfortable,
mm-hmm.
then that all of that takes so much. Putting a smile on your face when you don't feel you can,
Sorry.
That's like a goddamn marathon. That is, oh my God, that's like the Olympic triathlon. You can't, it's exhausting. And then you have no space for anything else. And so when you actually start to value yourself and who you are, the people who are meant to be in your life, the people who understand you, the people who support you, come closer. You sort of act like this light that people go, true. And it's mutual, because then there's the other person that you understand them and you understand what they need and go towards them in their times of need. It's just like when it's finding this like balance to quality and not being afraid of people anymore.
Yeah.
I'm basically very scared of people.
Yeah.
Women especially. I used to be very scared of women.
Why?
Because I went to an all girls boarding school. It's like the Hunger Games. Fuck. And being stuck in an all girls boarding school when you're 11 and there's a 16-year-old girl running your life. You're gonna get scared of girls. I used to be very, very scared of women, but now not. Just love women now. I used to hate them. Well, didn't hate, was very scared.
Mm-hmm.
Giving so much power to men.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I feel so emotional. I'm not really sure why.
Same here.
Yeah, hold on. Here's that.
Whew. You're just like me. It's like I see myself in the mirror. It's so funny. It's so funny because I don't know anyone like that emotional like me.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone. No one's really emotional. And if they are, they're just emotional by themselves. And I never see someone this emotional.
Oh, no. I do it. I do it all the time.
I also started to cry in the car. I started to cry in the plane. Yeah. Always cry everywhere.
I love it. I watched, there's a film on Disney Plus, new film called Quiz Lady, starring Sandra Oh and Aquafina. And there's a dog in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I'm done. There's a dog. And just wept the whole way through. Texted my boyfriend, being like, "Oh, stop crying." And he was like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "That's a dog." But it's strange because, like you said, there's lots of people who, you know, they do emotions on their own.
Yeah,
that's how they do. That's great. That's for them. I'm just like, "Oh," and people go, "Oh, it's so vulnerable." But it's weird because for a really long time, I thought that vulnerable was a one size fits all. Ugh. Vulnerable means that you cry a lot in front of people, that you go, I'm sad. It's not. not for me.
Yeah.
Vulnerability is a very specific thing.
Uh-huh.
For some people, being vulnerable will mean openly crying in front of another person.
Yeah.
For me, vulnerability is confronting another person.
Yeah.
That's a very, very vulnerable place. Mm-hmm.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Where do you think your vulnerability lies, if you have to pick?
I think I didn't really understand the
question. I really hate if a friend is upset me.
Yeah.
Not even a friend. If someone I don't like has upset me, I will really struggle going to them. And not in an aggressive way, not in an angry way, but going, I just need to let you know, I think for my own sanity and my own peace, that what you said there that upset me, that hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always assume if I say that to anybody,
yeah,
they'll go, well, you want to know about the times when you've been a prick or whatever, yeah, and I'll get beaten down. Yes. So I stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I always stay quiet and never go to another person and tell them how they've upset me. Very, very welcome.
So you still don't do that?
I really struggle with it.
Okay.
I really struggle with it because I don't want to upset anybody else.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
It's so sad.
But also, like, are you with your friends too?
Even most of the time, it
must be so painful to you if you, like, if they've done something that you didn't like or felt weird or bad to you, and you can't tell, you don't know how to tell.
I don't know how to tell them, and a lot of the time they tell me.
And you know they wouldn't probably be mad, right?
No, they'd probably go, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But I don't trust anyone enough to think that they won't leave me if I say that. And so if someone has hurt me, I would much rather carry that pain because I can control it. I can go, okay, I can put this away and just leave it. We'll leave it alone. We don't need to cause trouble. Rather than going, ow, this thing, I'm going to hand it back to you for you to deal with, because they might then turn it into like a pipe bomb and chuck it into John Lewis on the Saturday afternoon. Like, something really bad might happen if I release control of this pain.
Mm-hmm.
So when
do you do it then? Like, where do you put the pain? Like, how do you?
Let me stay tuned. Generally, it comes, and this is why I really love having these conversations, because I don't. If someone talks about themselves as being healed in the past tense, or being fine, or being good, like being finished with completed therapy,
This is not existing.
That's not a thing. You can't be. There's no such thing as. You did it. Well done. You finished therapy.
Maybe you had a good day today, but tomorrow's gonna be
good day, bad day. Tomorrow is different. I don't trust anybody who says that they're healed. And so doing this podcast going, because that sounds like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but I'm not. But like, people come and go like, you have all the answers. I think you can fix me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Still learning every single day, still struggling, still making mistakes left, right and center, still going, I don't know how to handle this pain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only by sort of talking to other people and hearing other experiences that you begin to maybe expand your mind of how you could do that. So at the moment, I'm still really dealing with the pain. And it comes at night. It comes in flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that's been really helpful is doing the step work in AA. Mm-hmm. Which is writing down resentments and the person, the resentment, and what it affected.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was your self-esteem or the essence of who you are, or your pride or your joy or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's been helpful. I hope maybe one day there will come a time when I can go, hey,
it's gonna happen.
Redacted.
It's gonna
Mr.
happen.
Bleep bleep. What you did was really hurt me.
Yeah.
So basically, my long-winded way of question is there something that you currently struggle with in the same way? Is there something where you would like to improve on the way that you operate?
One thing that I always say yes.
You know, like,
I can't say no, no matter, like, even if it's a person that hurt me, I'd always go back to my ex-boyfriend, for example. I'd always go back to my old friends if they be nice for 1 second. Like, I feel like it's very easy to control me for other people that meant something to me. And I have to definitely work on that, because it's hurting me too. But, I mean, I always write it down and it's fine for me, but it happens and happens like all the time. So like, I feel like it's very easy for them to control me.
Yeah. Easily. Being a safe person, being a really kind, very kind individual is such a beautiful thing. And it's one of the things, because often with when you're doing step work in AA, you're basically being like, oh my God, I did this and that was really bad. And like, oh my God, I was an idiot. But you also have to go, there are really great things.
Yeah.
And one of the things is like that I love about myself is like, I'm a really, really kind person. A really kind person. And that's such a, I'm so grateful for that. But it does come with a price sometimes. Yeah. Because
people use it sometimes.
Yeah. People hone in on kindness and empathy and deep understanding. And because they go, oh, I can have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I can have a little bit of that and I can do what I want with it. And as a kind person, you go, I just want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up drained.
Yeah,
and
so
it's
drained.
Really tough. And find sort of figuring out who to say yes to, who to say no to.
It's so hard.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Yeah. Right. I don't even know.
Not in a million years, unless someone did like something so heinous, it was like out and out, that was a bad thing. You are definitely a bad person because you forgive so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you, are you good with forgiveness? I guess you are like.
I am, yes. Yeah. I can like, if someone would say sorry and like really apologize, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
No matter what it was.
Really.
But I don't know if I'd let you in my, like, if I let you closer to me or in my life ever again, but I forgive you always.
Yeah. I would say. I think there's, apologies are very powerful things.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, if you just do the same thing, like same mistake over and over again, probably wouldn't even talk to you no more. But like, the first 3-4 times, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
Because you're still learning, you know? Even though, like, for example, my ex-boyfriend, like, he's done the same mistake over and over again. And I think he's still learning, you know? He doesn't love himself. He doesn't... Man, they don't even, like, deal with themselves. They just live life and don't think about how... That they're also just human beings. Yeah. They don't have to be strong and all the time, because we know you also emotional. You can also cry and it's fine. Mm. But yeah, that's why I always forgave him.
Yeah, because you see a human.
Yeah.
You see the mistakes and that maybe the intention wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But it's being an empath is like a wonderful thing. It's an incredible thing having empathy. It's really, I love it. I love it. But you also go like, God damn it, I have so much empathy for you. Because I can just see that you're human. You're just like trying your best. And also, you've made a lot of mistakes yourself. You go like, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
Who am I to judge? Even though like, terrible things have happened. But apologies are, I think, very, very powerful things. Because especially if responsibility is taken, like... very deliberate and specific responsibility rather than, because anyone can just go, I am sorry.
I know. This won't work for me.
Yeah. Like, what, why are you sorry? What are you sorry for? Yeah. And people making an effort to change, because people are so capable of change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible thing to witness. And when you see it happen, it's really wonderful and very powerful.
Yeah.
What are the things about you as a person that you really love and cherish?
I love that I care so much about everything and everyone who's important to me. Like, I care a lot about my people, make sure they're safe, feel good being with me and around me. And just that I'm really like a kind person. I love that feeling. And what do you think?
About me?
About you, yes.
I think that's only what someone's only ever asked that once. I think one thing that I am so grateful for is the resilience and bravery.
Okay.
because coming back from coming back from from a suicide attempt, being in rehab, I lost nearly all my friends, apart from my best friend, who's really, he saved my life. Coming back, and someone said to me quite recently, they were like, how do you come back from that? And I was like, with a lot of strength and a lot of bravery. And I think being fearless is one of the greatest compliments you can give anybody. Because fearlessness is such a, it's so, there's something that is just so primal about it. And having that quality of just going, I very nearly ducked out of this and I'm not coming back in the shadows. I'm coming back face out.
Yes.
Wearing green trousers. So you can see. And being like, and openly admitting mistakes, talking about change and healing. And going, if you, being able to say these things and if knowing that if there are people out there who are feeling even a scratch of the same emotion, knowing that it can maybe help somebody else. I think I'm so grateful for that gumption.
There you really can be.
I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for that. Diehard Gryffindor. and kindness. Yeah, definitely kindness, forgiveness. Oh my God. Because I feel like usually with this is that people walk away being like, oh my gosh, I feel like I've just had therapy. I feel like I've just been sat with you being like, okay, I've just got to tell you all about everything that's happened.
Wait.
I genuinely think that it is only by speaking, by giving the words, giving the words when maybe someone else doesn't have them.
Yeah.
Is one of the greatest things that you can do. One of the most powerful things that you can do, because it's when people are without words, without explanation, without any kind of light or partially just company, that's when disaster strikes.
Yes.
It's when disaster strikes, because there is no way out, literally no way out. And like I said, even with lyrics, with music, putting that out into the world and knowing that something can, it's like being in a pitch black room and there is a spark of light that you can reach towards. Even if it's that can save a life. That can save a life. And the rate of suicide, the rate of male suicide particularly, is incredibly tragic. And yeah, it is by going, we're not going to hide away. We're going to talk about these things because there is nothing to be ashamed. There is nothing to be ashamed of.
No,
guys. Not a shred.
Mm-mm.
This is very real, and what happens in our mind is very, very real. And whatever you are experiencing, regardless of where you are, it's real, and you deserve help, and you deserve love, and you deserve kindness and empathy and understanding. So we have a portion of the podcast that we like to call Thank You Letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, but something, somewhere, someone for which you are grateful.
I'm very grateful to be that I woke up today, that I can be here, that I met you guys. But my team, I'm also very grateful for my team. People that are with me every day, deal with me every day. My mom, my dog, can't wait to be home, fly back home tonight. And I'm very grateful today. Like, I feel really blessed.
Amazing. What kind of dog do you have?
I have like a French bulldog. He's so cute.
What's his name?
Lucky Charm.
No, it's not. Oh my. this is because I've got this emotion. It's so raw on the surface that for some reason hearing about your French bulldog's funky charms is going to send me into my day being like... Oh my God, and animals are also... We don't deserve animals so much.
We don't deserve animals.
My cat Mickey is usually a big part of the podcast because my cat is like a child and a dog got together and made a cat because he's ridiculous. And I love him so much. I'm so grateful for him. So yeah, I totally understand the unfortunate things. Is there anything coming up that you can discuss if you'd like to promote on the podcast?
Maybe just that I'm going on tour next year and I'll be in London too. And it's like a very intimate, small venue that we chose. So it almost feels like therapy.
Yeah.
And I can't wait because I love talking. And especially if I can see everyone and I can feel everyone. I love doing those little sessions because I can really like talk to you. Mm. You guys can talk to me. It's so open. We can ask each other's questions. We can sing.
Yeah.
It's going to be so nice. You guys have to come too.
I'm like, oh my God, book it in. Go get on those tickets, Felipe.
Yeah.
That's Felipe's job. Great. Well, I'm going to link everything down below. And I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you so much.
Again, like you said, I feel truly, truly blessed. People can bring me tears, but you did a good job of it. And just fantastic. And thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for your bravery and openness and things that you are doing that are saving lives. And
thank you.
It's truly incredible. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.